let's bow in a word of prayer. Let's commit this into the Lord's hands. It's time. Lord, we just want to thank you first and foremost for this opportunity that you've given us to be in your house, Lord. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for their lives. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you have done, for the work that you are doing, and for the work that you are going to do, Lord. And we're just so thankful to be here tonight, Lord. We're just so thankful that we have the opportunity to come to church, Lord. That thank you that you put that in our hearts and you gave us the grace and the strength and the commitment to come out tonight, Lord. And I just pray that now as we open your word, you would come and open our hearts, Lord, that you would just do that work that only you can do, that you would give me grace to teach, to share, to explain, and that you would give my family grace to receive, Lord, and that when it's all said and done, you would receive all the glory, Lord. That's our prayer. May your word be fruitful, and may your word be a blessing tonight, Lord. That's our prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all of the family says, amen, amen. Thank you, fam. God bless you. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. And this evening, we're just going to continue our study in the Gospel of John. And we are now going to be in chapter 1, verses 15 through 28. John chapter 1, we'll begin there in verse 15. And we'll read all the way down to verse 18. And when you have it, you can let me know by saying amen. And we'll read it together as a family. Amen, fam. John chapter 1. Let's begin in verse 15. And we'll read all the way down to verse 18. And this is what the word of the Lord declares. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and all of God's people declare amen, amen. Tonight, I have titled our Bible study, "There is no one like him." There is no one like him. And what we want to do is we just want to continue our study here in the Gospel of John. If you have we've been covering this gospel now for a few months. And we've been focusing on the first chapter, the first 18 verses of the chapter. And we actually know this first section as the introduction of the Gospel of John. We actually know it better as the prologue. That's a Greek word that simply means "before I speak." And really the idea is before John gets into the life and ministry of Jesus, before he begins to share with us the details of Jesus' ministry, he gives us an introduction of Jesus. He gives us what we would call a summary of who Jesus is. He really presents to us the glory, the supremacy, the importance of Jesus. And really, that's a good description of these first 18 verses here in John chapter 1, the glory of Christ. Because really what John wants us to understand from the beginning is that Jesus is glorious and there is no one like him. He is the unique Son of God, one of a kind, and there is no one like him. And just to give you a quick reminder of what we have covered up to this point, notice first in verse 1, we've learned that Jesus is God, that Jesus is fully God. For John begins the gospel with the words, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then notice verses 2 and 3. After telling us that Jesus is fully God, he also tells us that Jesus is the creator of all things. Because John tells us that really all things were made through Jesus, and there was not anything made that was not made by him. And then notice verse 4, he tells us that Jesus is life. I love what he tells us in verse 4. He says, in him was life. What an amazing description of Jesus, that Jesus is the source of life, that all of life comes through him. And then if you recall in verse 9, he told us that Jesus is the true light. Look at verse 9. He says, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. And then like we saw last week, we learned that he was also the promised Messiah. He is the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world, and he is fully, perfectly man. And so we've looked at these descriptions that John has given us of the Lord Jesus Christ. One after another, John begins his gospel just really presenting the glory of Christ and how amazing, how unique he is, all with the desire that we would come to the conclusion that there is no one like him. There is no one like the Lord Jesus. Now, what we want to do tonight is we want to just kind of continue our study. And we are now going to finish this introduction, this prologue that John gives us here. And we are now going to focus on verses 15 through 18. And really what John does in these last few verses is he shares with us a few more things concerning Jesus and how Jesus is unique. And so he's going to continue with that theme that there was no one like him, that Jesus is the unique God, the one of a kind, Son of God. And he's now going to share with us a few more things concerning his person and his work. And so what I want to do is I want to share with you three things that we see and learn here in our text. And we're going to begin in verse 14. And the first thing I want you to notice concerning Jesus is that he is unique in his origin. He is unique in his origin. Notice once again in verse 15 that John once again mentions the testimony of John the Baptist concerning Jesus. And so once again, he brings up John the Baptist. He's already done this in verse 7, and there we learn that John testified that Jesus is the true light. And now, once again, John the Baptist is mentioned, and John tells us that this is what John the Baptist testified about Jesus. And look with me in verse 15 again. Notice what he says. John bore witness about him and cried out. And so this is now John's witness about Jesus. This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. Now that phrase that he ranks before me, the idea there is that he's greater than me. He's more supreme. He's more glorious. He has a higher ranking than me. And so what John is saying here is that Jesus is greater than him. He is more supreme. He is more glorious. And like we're going to see in the future, John the Baptist just considered himself a servant of Jesus, a messenger. But he always understood that he was not the Christ. He was not the Savior. He was not the true light, the Messiah. He was simply a servant. But his testimony is that Jesus ranks before him. Now the question is, why does Jesus rank before John the Baptist? Why is Jesus greater and more supreme than John the Baptist? And this is what we want to focus on. Notice the end of verse 15. John answers the question. He says, because he was, and what's the phrase? Before me. He ranks above me because he was before me. And that's what we want to focus on. Jesus is unique in his origin. Because really what John is saying here is that Jesus never had a beginning. He'll never have an end. But Jesus is eternal. Jesus is eternal. That Jesus existed before John the Baptist. Now, what's so incredible about that statement is if you recall the gospel story, the Christmas story from Luke, we actually learn that John the Baptist was born 6 months before Jesus. And so John the Baptist, we would say in human years, is actually older than Jesus. And yet John, understanding that, knowing that, he still makes this statement that Jesus was before him. That Jesus, even though he was born first, Jesus existed before him. And so the idea is Jesus has always existed. Jesus is what we call pre-existent. He is eternal. He never had a beginning, and he will never have an end, but he's unique in his origin. Notice verse 1 again with me. This is the idea. In the beginning was the Word. Whenever the beginning was, no matter how far you take it back, Jesus was already there because he is eternal. He has always existed. He is unique in his origin. And so that's the first thing that we learn here, that Jesus is unique in his origin. He is eternal. He has always existed. And so the idea is he's supreme. Jesus is eternal God. He is God Almighty, and he is first. He has always been, and he will always be. And so this is the application. In the same way that he's first, that he's eternal, that he's supreme, he has to be first in our lives. He has to be supreme in our lives. We must always give Jesus that supremacy in our lives. That like John, we have to say he ranks before me because he was before me. He's supreme in my life. He is first in my life. He is the center of everything because he is God. He is my God. He is my Savior. And he's first and everything else is second. That's the application. He is eternal God. He is supreme over all things. And he must be supreme in our lives. Now notice verses 16 and 17. The second thing that we learn here concerning Jesus and the uniqueness of Jesus is that Jesus is also unique in the sense that he is the source of all blessing. He is unique because he is the source of all blessing. And now let's read verses 16 and 17. And these verses, in my opinion, are some of the most glorious verses found in the Gospel of John. And I'm sure many of you are probably familiar with these verses or probably know them by heart. Because notice what John says concerning Jesus now. He says, "And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." We have all received grace upon grace from Jesus. And this is the idea. John is telling us that Jesus is the source. He's the channel by which we receive all of God's blessings. whether it's physical blessings, whether it's spiritual blessings, everything comes through Jesus. And notice what he says, that from his fullness, we have all received. And the idea there is every good thing, every blessing, whether it's a physical blessing, a spiritual blessing, every good thing has come from Jesus. That we have received from him his fullness. From his fullness, we have all received. He is the source of every blessing that we have received. Now let's talk a little bit about this. And I want to share with you guys two things we see here. First, notice in verse 16 that Jesus first is the source of every physical blessing. Of every physical blessing. Now, within theology, there is something that we call common grace. And really, this is the idea behind common grace. In a general way, in a common way, everyone, whether you're a believer or a non-believer, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, everyone has received something from God's grace. Everyone has received good things from God. And we know that as common grace. Common grace is given and experienced by everyone. And so let me give you an example. Everyone has received life from God. How many of you guys know that life is a good thing? It's a good thing. Everyone has received oxygen from God. How many of you guys know that oxygen is a real good thing? Last I checked, I didn't purchase oxygen, but God has given it to me. He gives it to me every day. It's God's oxygen, and he gives it to everyone. It's a gift from God. You might not see oxygen as a gift of God, but just wait until the day where you need oxygen, right? And you're going to be like, man, I never knew how important it was. What about food? God has given us this earth. God gives us rain. God gives us sunshine. This earth is able to grow fruit and vegetables. It's all a gift of God. What about gravity? Have you ever thought of how amazing gravity is? And that's a gift from God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be floating around, right? I'm not trying to spacewalk anytime soon. And so what we find are all these blessings come from God. They're good things that God has given us. Common grace, oxygen, water, food, rain, sunlight, gravity, life. God is a good God, and he has been so good to us, mankind. And John tells us here that everything comes from Jesus, that from his fullness we have all received. And many believe the idea behind all is believer or non-believer. Everyone has received good things from Jesus. Everyone has received light and food and gravity and oxygen and water. And Jesus has poured out this common grace upon everyone. James would tell us that every good thing comes from above, from the Father, from the Lord Jesus, from God. And we find that he is the source of every physical blessing. But then notice in verse 17, John mentions another type of blessing that we have received. And this is now spiritual blessing. Because Jesus is the source of every physical blessing, but he's also the source of every spiritual blessing. And so there's something that we call common grace. And everyone has experienced common grace. Everyone has experienced something good from God. But within the Bible, we learn of another category of God's grace. And we know that category as saving grace or sovereign grace. And the Bible tells us that this type of grace, this type of blessing, spiritual blessing, is only received by faith in Christ. And so everyone experiences common grace, but only believers, only those who have received by faith in Christ have experienced saving grace. Because notice what John tells us in verse 17. He says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And so this is the idea. When someone receives Christ into their life, when they believe upon him and receive him as their Lord and Savior, at that moment, they receive saving grace. They receive sovereign grace. At that moment, they receive what we would call spiritual blessing. Spiritual blessing. At that moment, they receive salvation. Salvation. And so that's the idea, that as believers now in Christ, we receive common grace, but we also receive saving grace. That we receive physical blessings, but we have also received spiritual blessings. And notice that phrase at the end of verse 16. Notice that he tells us that we have received grace upon grace. And the idea there is that now in Christ, God has poured out grace upon grace upon grace. That now in Christ, you have common grace, but you also have saving grace. That now in Christ, you have been blessed physically. You have life, you have oxygen, you have water, you have gravity, you have food. But you also have been blessed spiritually. You have salvation, you have redemption, you have been justified, you will be glorified, you've been redeemed, you are a child of God. It's grace upon grace upon grace. And John tells us it has all come through Jesus. Jesus is the source. He's the source of every blessing that we have received. He's the source. We're so blessed. As believers, we're highly favored by God. We have received grace upon grace. Paul would tell us in Ephesians, I believe Ephesians 1, 3, that in Jesus, the Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Everything comes and flows through Jesus. And so if that is the case, and it is, and if it's true that as believers we have received grace upon grace, and it is true, then the application is we need to always be thankful. We need to have hearts filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. As believers, if we're honest, we really don't have anything to complain about because we have received grace upon grace. What are you lacking as a believer? And if you don't have something, it's probably because you don't need it, because Christ has given you grace upon grace. Christ has given you from his fullness. From his fullness, you have received, and we need to be thankful. We need to understand that God has been so good to us. God has been so faithful to our lives, that God has done amazing things through Christ in our lives. He has blessed us physically, but more than that, spiritually, and we must always be thankful. That should always be our response every day, thanking the Lord for the grace upon grace that we have received. You know, I once heard a testimony about Mr. Rogers. I think some of you know who Mr. Rogers was. He had a very popular television show called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Just out of curiosity, does anyone remember that show? A lot of us do, right? Yeah. You know, when I preached this in Spanish, no, not too many had heard of Mr. Rogers. But many of us, you know, second, third generation, or those who were born here, have heard of Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers. And this is the story. In the year 1997, the Emmys, the Academy for Television here in the United States, they honored Fred Rogers with a Lifetime Achievement Award. As you all know, for many years, he had a television show for children called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And really through that television show, he really impacted millions of children, including probably many of us. And he really taught us biblical principles, biblical truths, and really more than anything, how to love our neighbor. That was kind of his theme. Many don't know, but Mr. Rogers actually was a Presbyterian minister. He was a pastor. He actually went to seminary, Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. He was from the East Coast. But after seminary training and after studying for the ministry, he felt the Lord was leading him into television. And so he got involved in television, and then he created his show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And for many, many years, I think that show ran for about 35 years, he impacted millions of children. And so finally, the Emmys decided to give him an award, a Lifetime Achievement Award. And the story goes, and I've actually seen this, you can actually see it on YouTube, that when he went to receive his Emmy, he actually shared a speech. And his speech is considered by some to be one of the most famous speeches that has ever been given during that award show. And this is what he said. As you can imagine, on that night, there was many stars that were in the audience. There was television stars, movie stars, soap opera stars. It's the Emmys. It's television. And so literally in the audience that night, all of Hollywood was present. And so Mr. Roger goes up to the podium. He accepts his award, and he begins to give his speech. And this is what he begins to say. All of you are here tonight because someone sowed into your life. Someone invested in your life. Maybe a father, maybe a mother, maybe a teacher, maybe a coach, maybe a mentor. Everyone is here tonight and we're able to achieve success because God put someone in your life. And then after saying that, Mr. Rogers, he literally said this. He continued by saying, and so this is what we're going to do. For 10 seconds, we are going to pause and we are going to give thanks for that person that God put in our life. For 10 seconds, we are going to thank God for putting that person in our life. We're going to pause and reflect and we're going to give thanks. Now, when Mr. Rogers said that, as you can imagine, everybody started to laugh because, you know, this is Hollywood. This is the mid-90s. And they thought he was joking. They thought it was just an illustration for his speech. But then all of a sudden, after saying that, Mr. Rogers literally lifted up his hand. He looked at his watch. And with authority, with assurance, he said, "Are you ready? 10 seconds. We are going to give thanks." And what followed was complete silence in the audience. And for 10 seconds, Mr. Rogers guided all of Hollywood into a time of thanksgiving. And you should have seen all of them, like little children, they obeyed Mr. Rogers. And literally after the 10 seconds were over, there was not a dry eye in the audience. But all of the movie stars, all of the actors and actresses and television stars, all of them begin to literally weep and cry as they begin to reflect upon that person that God put in their life, and as they begin to give thanks. And I remember when I saw that clip, when I saw that video, I myself, kind of like a little baby, was also crying, because I began to reflect and think about that person that God put in my life, or those people that God has placed in my life. And even more than that, I begin to think about the Lord Jesus, and I begin to think how Jesus has done so much in my life. I begin to think where I was at before I committed my life to Christ. I begin to think the path that I was on before I became a Christian. I begin to think of how Jesus saved me and rescued me, and slowly but surely he began to put everything in place. And everything I am, everything I have, everything I'm able to do is only because of him. And kind of as I was watching that video, kind of like a baby, I was weeping with Mr. Rogers as I just reflected and as I paused to give thanks. And I have learned that it's so important to give thanks. It's so important every day to pause, to reflect on how much God has given us, how much God has blessed us, and to give thanks. Like John says in here, verses 16 and 17, we of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Just think about that for a moment. God has poured out upon you in Christ grace upon grace. Everything we have has come from him. Just the fact that we are here tonight and not in a hospital, not locked up, not on the streets, or even not at home in front of the television is evidence of God's grace. It's evidence that, man, God is so good. I'm here. I made it by the grace of God. I'm here with my family. I'm here with my children. I'm here with my loved ones. And we're doing this together. And some of you are probably even thinking like a year ago, it would have been impossible for me to be here. 5 years ago, I would have never imagined I would be at church. Let's say for me, 18 years ago, I would have never imagined me giving a Bible study at church, but that's the grace of God. Grace upon grace. He has poured out his grace upon us, and just us being here is evident. It's tangible evidence of how amazing and good God is and how important it is for us to be thankful. That we would learn to pause every day and be thankful. Like, that we would learn to pause and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, God, for everything that you have blessed, for everything that you have given me, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that in Christ I have been given grace upon grace, and I have received all of your blessings. And John tells us it all comes through Jesus. Everything comes through the Lord. It's not by our own strength. It's not by our own intelligence. It's not by our good works. We are nothing. He is everything. It all comes from him. And so he's unique. There's nobody like him. He's unique in his origin. He is before all things. He is eternal. He is supreme. He is unique in being the source of all blessing. Everything comes from him. Every blessing comes from above. Every good thing comes from the Lord. And I want to end with verse 18. Notice that he's also unique in his revelation of the Father. His revelation of the Father. Jesus is the full revelation of God the Father. If we want to get to know God the Father, if we want to get to know God, we must go through Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can reveal the Father. Because notice what verse 18 says. Look at what he says in verse 18. No one has ever seen God. Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, and especially if you're familiar with the Old Testament, when you read that phrase, immediately you should think of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 33, verse 20. John is connecting it with Exodus. John wants you to think of Exodus. He wants you to be familiar with it. He's connecting it. And if you recall, there in Exodus 33, 20, on one occasion, God told Moses that no one can see his face and live. That if you would see his face, if you would see the face of God, and the idea there is if you would see the full revelation of God, you would not live. It would be overwhelming. God is too glorious. God is too majestic. Nobody could see his face. No one could know God perfectly. No one could know God absolutely. God is infinite. We are finite. And so it's impossible to know God in his fullness. And that's what God tells Moses in the Old Testament. And so what do we find? What do we find in the Old Testament? If you recall, every time God reveals himself, he has to reveal himself through a mediator. He can never reveal himself directly. He's too glorious. He's too amazing. Nobody can see his face and live. And so God, what does he do? He sends Moses. He sends the prophets. He reveals himself through the tabernacle, through the temple. And even then, the mediators, the prophets, Moses, even then, they don't receive a perfect revelation. There's limitations because nobody can see God's face and live. Nobody can receive that full revelation from God. And so when we read in the Old Testament, we find that God's revelation is always limited. That when God speaks, he always has to speak through a third party. Because he's too glorious. We're too sinful. And so he raises up holy man, the prophets, and he speaks to the people through him. But even then, the revelation is limited. And so with that in mind, let's read verse 18 again. Because he says, no one has ever seen God. But then notice this statement. The only God, and that's a reference to Jesus, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. And so the idea here is no one has ever seen God. No one can see God's face and live. But now with the coming of Jesus, now with the appearance of the Son of God, we have now received the full revelation of God. That now with Jesus, the revelation no longer is limited. The revelation no longer is given through a third party. But Jesus is God. He's God in human flesh. And Jesus came to the earth and he made known the Father. He literally revealed the Father to us. The God the Father. And now through Jesus, we can get to know the Father. Now through Jesus, we can have a relationship with the Father. Now through Jesus, we can see the Father. Because Jesus would say that he who has seen me has seen the Father. Because Jesus and the Father are one in nature. They're both fully God. And so in Jesus, we encounter the perfect revelation of God. In Jesus, I can get to know the Father. I can draw near to the Father. I can have a relationship with the Father. In Jesus, I can get to know God. I can get to know God. I remember, I don't know if I've shared this illustration before, but when I was young, when I was a kid, every summer we would go to Oregon for summer vacation. And we would go to northeastern Oregon. And from here to northeastern Oregon, it's very far. It's a very long trip. It's about 18 or 20 hours. And so as we would drive every summer, in those days, this is the 80s and the 90s, there's no iPad, there's no iPhone, there's no Nintendo Switch. You have no electronics. You don't even have cell phones or beepers yet, but it's just you in the road. And so as a child, as a kid, in order to pass the time, you have to invent games. You have to use your imagination. Yes, imagination is something, right? Nowadays, there's no imagination. But back in those days, it was something amongst kids. We actually used to play outside, okay? I know that's kind of scary. And I tell my son, go play outside. He's like, what? You know, outside? No way. We used to do that back in the days. And so what I used to like to do is I used to be fascinated with the clouds. Still am. And I used to look at the clouds, and I used to just admire the beauty of the clouds. And what I would do is I would use my imagination as a young child, and I would begin to see pictures and images. No, I wasn't on drugs, okay? Not on drugs, but I would just imagine the clouds as castles or animals or things to that nature, rockets, airplanes, and I just used to be fascinated with the sky, how beautiful it is. I still am today. And then I began to ask questions as a child. You know, you're young, you ask a lot of questions. I wonder what's up there. You know, you've asked that before when you were small, or I wonder what God is doing. I wonder what heaven is like. I wonder what it would be like, you know, just to fly up there and see beyond the clouds. I wonder what it would be like to run on the clouds, take a nap on the clouds, to hug the clouds. I was just always very curious, you know, asking these questions as a young boy. But listen to this. This is the reality. Even though I'm using my imagination, even though I got these desires and aspirations, no matter how hard I tried or no matter how hard I wanted it, there was no way for me to go up there. There was no way that was not going to happen. There was no way for me to kind of open the veil and to see what's behind there, what's going on, what is God doing, what is heaven like. That was not going to happen. I had all my questions, but I wasn't in and of myself, by myself, I wasn't able to get the answers. And that is a good picture, a good illustration of humanity. There's a lot of questions. Everyone has their questions, but no matter how hard they try or no matter what they do, they can't go up there. They can't open the veil. And so we're kind of left in the dark. But this is what God did. God is so amazing, so gracious, so loving that instead of leaving us in the dark, instead of just leaving us here with all of our questions, God literally opened the veil and God came to the earth. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That God literally came and became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus walked this earth. And what did Jesus do? He answered all of our questions. And that's literally what John is telling us here, that he revealed the Father. He made the Father known. Literally the word. Notice the word in your Bibles. He has made him known. That word literally speaks of, let's say you have something. Let's say you have a verse, you have a text, and let's say you bring it out in the open for everyone can see. That's literally the word he uses. It's literally the word that we use in biblical interpretation, exegesis. It literally means to bring something out for all could see, for all could examine, for all could understand. That's the word that John uses, that Jesus came and he literally brought out the Father. He literally revealed the Father. He explained the Father. He answered our questions. He opened our eyes to the truth. Now we're no longer in the dark, but we have the truth of God's word. And more than that, we have the testimony of Jesus, God's Son, who came from heaven to earth. And so now we can get to know God. Now we can know that God does love us, because in Jesus we see God's love. Or now we can know that God is with us, because in Jesus we see God's presence. Or we can know that God wants to give us rest, because in Jesus we see God's peace. Or we know that God wants to forgive us, that God wants to save us from our sins, because in Jesus we see God's salvation. Or we know that God is powerful, that God is mighty to save, because in Jesus we see the power of God manifested. Or we know that God wants to bless us, that God cares for us and wants the best for our family, for our home, for our children, because in Jesus we see God's wisdom. We see God's truth. We see everything in Jesus, because he's the perfect revelation of God. And so Jesus is amazing, is unique. In him we find the eternal Son of God, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing and has revealed to us the Father. And to know Jesus is to know the Father. And if we don't know Jesus, we don't know the Father. It's impossible to know God except through Jesus Christ, because no one has seen God. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has made him known. Truly, there is no one like him. Let's pray, fam. Lord, we just want to thank you for your word, and we want to thank you for this time that we have to study your word. And Lord, we're just so thankful. We're so thankful, Lord. Just thinking about the words of Mr. Rogers, Lord. I think tonight, Lord, we can all have a little pause and just reflect on how good you are, Lord. Every single one of us are here, Lord, only by your grace, only by your mercy, only by your love, Lord. And we're thankful, Lord. We're truly thankful, Lord, for all that you have given us, Lord. And even now, Lord, we want to express our thanksgiving, Lord. And we just want to say to you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Thank you for forgiving us, Lord. Thank you that you have transformed us. Thank you, Lord, that maybe we're not where we need to be, but we're sure not where we used to be, Lord. But you're doing a work, Lord. You're doing a work, Lord, and we're so, so thankful. And we just want to express that thanksgiving tonight, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that you would give us grace to always be thankful, Lord, that our hearts would always be filled with thanksgiving, Lord, and that we would remember that we don't really have an excuse to complain, Lord, because things could be so much worse, Lord. Things could be so much more harder, Lord, and you've been so good, Lord, and we're just so thankful, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that as we start this week, Lord, that we can take a heart of thanksgiving, Lord, and we can just pause and we can reflect and we can just be blown away of your goodness, Lord. Thank you for my family, Lord. I just pray that you would continue to be with them, Lord, that you would help each of us, Lord, to get to know you more. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the perfect revelation. Thank you, Jesus, that you came down from heaven to show us the way, to show us the Father, that through you, Lord, we can know the truth, and that truth sets us free, Lord. And our prayer, Lord, is that this week we can grow in your grace. We can grow in your knowledge. I pray that this week, Lord, you would help us to open up the Bible, to open up the Word, to get to know you more and more, Lord, because to know you is life and life in abundance. And I thank you for my family. I pray, Lord, for any need, Lord, anyone who's going through something, anyone who has a petition or a need. I pray, Lord, that you would help them, Lord, that you would meet that need. In Jesus' name, Lord, that you would give them strength, that you would give them grace, that you would help them, Lord, to do the right thing, Lord, to do the right thing, that in all times they would honor you, Lord. We confess that we're weak, Lord. I confess that I'm weak, Lord, that I'm fragile, Lord. I confess, Lord, that without you I can do nothing, but I know, Lord, you're greater than me. You're greater than my weakness. You're greater than my limitations. And with your help, Lord, I can live a victorious Christian life. And so here we are, Lord. Do that work. We open our hearts to you. We open our hands and receive all that you have for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace upon grace, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have showered us with your grace. And we're so thankful. I commit every brother and sister, every family, every marriage into your hands. Go before us this week, Lord. Protect us, keep us from evil, and give us grace to persevere one more week until we come back next Sunday or Wednesday. Thank you, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all the family says, amen, fam. Can we give the Lord a little clap offer? Yeah, amen. God bless you. Grace and peace, fam. Guys, have an awesome week in the Lord. Thank you for studying the Bible with me. It was a privilege and an honor to study the Bible tonight with you guys. We're dismissed. God bless you, fam. Grace and peace. We'll see you soon.